There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
You just ran into two people from New York, kiddo, and we're not putting up with your Republican bullshit.
All right, and that's how we start off Midday Mobile on this Tuesday edition. Live local talk over the next couple of hours. Remember, at any point, you could hear this.
We're not putting up with your Republican...
Oh, my gosh. Lord knows what she would say. That was actually directed towards Rand Paul. We'll get to that story coming up in hour number two. And a lot to do. Dale Jackson is going to join us. I don't know. I've lost institutional control of the show, and we'll let Dale back on. He joins us here in just about 7 or 8 minutes. Real interesting story from Dale, and I'm joking. I like Dale. Story he has up over at Yellowhammer. This is, I think, a good one. This comes up from time to time. You'll hear the big celebration. Terry Lathan, for example, will talk about another Democrat has signed on with the Republican Party in Alabama. Dale asked a question, can a politician be a party switcher in 2019 and it be anything other than self-preservation? Kind of an in-depth dive here. I like this question, and we'll talk about it with him coming up in just a little bit. And before we get into anything else, let me run through this as a public service, and it's happening on different platforms out there, on local newscasts that are going on. Let me tell you what's happening. We still have delays I-10 eastbound because of an accident involving a truck carrying, now listen to the details here, carrying lumber. Okay, so a flatbed that was carrying lumber, I'll use a technical term here, tumped over in the Wallace Tunnel eastbound I-10. I think they're still rerouting. They're rerouting onto Water Street, I think, getting people around there. So once again, this is I-10 eastbound. That'd be y'all heading to Daphne Spanish Fort. I-10 eastbound. And you had a truck carrying lumber. A log truck is not a lumber truck. Okay, I just want to clear. I know it sounds something. Oh, come on. What? They're not the same thing. And they've been reporting it that way. A log truck is carrying what becomes lumber, or can become paper, or it can be put into chips, it can be put into plow. Log truck is going to have actual, and sometimes hardwood, but quite often in our area, pine trees on it, right? It's going to have those cut sections of tree sitting in the back of it. It's going to have, if they're compliant, it's going to have that orange flag off the back, because that'll save you. I never did see the actual pine trees that were there, but I saw that orange flag, so that saved me from running in the back of them. But a log truck is hauling logs. Came from a deck there in the woods. Skidders had cut them. They loaded them up. They're going somewhere to become a lot of things, but one of the things they become is lumber. What tumped over I-10 eastbound in the Wallace Tunnel was a lumber truck. So I know that doesn't help you if you're stuck in traffic, but it's just the reports have been going out, and it's been bothering me last couple hours, last hour and a half or so. They kept saying, oh, the log truck, and I kept looking at the pictures. I'm like, maybe a lumber truck ran into a log truck, and I looked, and no, it's lumber, not logs. All right, so that's it. I just wanted for some extra clarification here on this Tuesday afternoon. What is delaying you right now is lumber. It looks like, in the pictures I saw earlier, no wonder it's causing some issues. Looked like a tumped over box of brim hooks out there as you're trying to stack all that lumber back up. And get it out there. Also, coming up today and for the next couple days, your chance to win tickets to check out the Marshall Tucker Band coming to the grounds at the Greater Gulf State Fair. We'll give you more details about that. Your chance to win those tickets coming up right here on Midday Mobile. And this is here's my transition. How do you like this? Marshall Tucker Band have been inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. When did that happen? It was... Is that 2015, something like that? It's been a while. 2015, 2016, something like that. Marshall Tucker Band were inducted in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. And speaking of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, there's a little bit of a push going on Twitter, and I'd like to help out as well, because there's a name that I don't think many people think about when it comes to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, and he's been around for a long time. And people on Twitter are talking about this. I think rightfully so. Rightfully so, it's time to at least nominate, if not induct, Weird Al Yankovic into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Dalton, am I lying? Is it not time for... I mean, there's a push for that, and that's something I feel like I could get behind, that after all these years, after all the remakes of all those rock and roll songs, all those pop songs, all those rap songs out there, that... Weird Al Yankovic is not on the docket. He's not in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, and I say it's about time. So I lend whatever support Twitter universe I can do. I'm on board. I'm in. I'm pushing for Weird Al and the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. All right, we'll be right back. Dale Jackson joins us next.
On national TV against the plumber.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
And looking at the emails and the text line, y'all. Oh, by the way, too, yeah, and who was it? Give credit where credit is due. I got ahead of myself. I was talking about skitters. Skitters are what do more damage, I think. More run. I'm going to get people loggers out there mad at me. Feller bunchers do some damage, but skitters are really what mess up that leave you big like ruts in the woods, unless you have a good operator and it's dry. No, but the people were texting in the fact that, you know, the log trucks, not lumber trucks, log trucks have to have the orange flag on the back of the logs. I'm sure it's a law, right? And I've always thought about that when I'm behind a log truck and I'm getting the piece of pine bark hitting my windshield, that if you see the orange flag but don't see the huge load of pine logs on the back of it, I would have never seen that whole load of pine logs there if it wasn't for that orange flag hanging off the back of that truck. Thank goodness that's there to keep us safe. All right, 1218 FM Talk 106.5 in Midday Mobile. I mentioned Dale Jackson, my buddy Dale Jackson from WVNN. And, of course, you hear him with Guerrilla Politics here every Saturday. Was going to join us to talk about thank goodness somebody wrote what you did, Dale, and glad it was you.
Really? Really? Why is that?
Well, because this is something that I have... It was when I saw your story over at Yellowhammer, can a politician be a party switcher in 2019 and it be anything other than self-preservation? When I saw that come up, I said, I've asked that question a lot of times. Just have not done it, you know, and published it. Not even really, I don't think, done it on the show, but I've just mulled that over, and you ask a good question. Now, you're specific with somebody in North Alabama. We can talk about that, but I think it's a bigger question even outside 2019. And when you hear you have Terry Latham will come out and say, hey, we've got another Democrat that switched the Republican Party. And you're asking the question, did they really change?
Yeah, did they change their mindset somehow? Did they decide that in 2019, okay, now I've had enough? And this goes for either one. If the Democrats could get party switchers, they'd be excited about that too. But, you know, we don't think they can at this point, not in Alabama. And I just find it interesting that you would have someone who just woke up one day and said, you know what, I'm not a Democrat anymore, I'm a Republican. Oh, yeah, and it just so happens to be 2 weeks before the qualifying deadline for an election. I'm probably not going to win otherwise.
Right, and this has happened, you know, like you're talking about, right up against election time, but it also, or qualifying, but it happens sometimes even away from qualifying. And get ready, you know the cliche when they talk, they'll say, well, I didn't leave, insert the blank party, the party left me. Right?
Right.
Well, you
know. That's exactly how they try to frame it. every single time. And I just, you know, my question is, they didn't leave you in 2018, not 2016, not even in 2010 when the Tea Party wave took over. And in Alabama, there was a huge switch in parties. I mean, it's 9 years later from that, 11 years from Obama, I don't know if I buy it.
No, and you could maybe argue, go back to a time in the 70s or something and talk about some of the switching, and then the 80s and some of those things. With okay, maybe. But yeah, in recent times, let's say in the last decade and a half, I just have trouble with this. And I'm not a joiner. You've known that. I'm not a joiner. I'm not a rah-rah here for that one party's got it right and one party's got it wrong. But like you said, it could work either way. When I hear people, and they're in a district where a D or an R can't win, so they then all of a sudden have this epiphany and become the other party. I go, is no one else throwing, thank goodness Daniel Jackson throwing flags on this, because flags need to be on the play.
Yeah, and you know, the part that I find most amusing about it, there are some hardcores who still think that Richard Shelby is justifiably a Republican enough because he used to be a Democrat. I'm not saying he can't do it. It strikes me, again, as odd when it happens. If you give me why Richard Shelby switched office, I can maybe rationalize it. You know, he felt that the Democratic Party was moving too far to the left, and he wanted, and it was after an election, by the way. I mean, he did it after an election.
That's the right way if you're going to do it, right? That's the right way.
Well, I don't even know if that's the case, because he won as a Democrat and then switched parties.
No,
like,
good point.
Immediately.
No, good point.
So there's just no real win for it, for a real good way to do it. I don't know what the answer is, but I do know that 2 weeks before an election, switching parties to me seems kind of shady.
You know, okay, I don't want to say people can't switch parties, because, I mean, absolutely, people can do what they want to do. But I don't know, you know, you laid out some questions here for this candidate in North Alabama, but and even questioned why it had to be a political race for this position. The position was what?
License director.
I mean, why the heck do we care if the license director is a Democrat or a Republican? I don't know. But I just want to
put that on our legislators. They're the ones that could change that and have chosen not to. And then people will complain, well, I want to be able to elect my government closest to me and stuff like that. But this is like electing the person who serves you at Walmart. I mean, it just doesn't make much sense. If they do a good job, you're happy. If you don't, you're not. And I added this. I know Mark Craig, the guy who we're talking about. I have no negative inferences towards anything he's done. I've never heard anything negative really about him. His office runs well, whatever, you know, all that stuff. But why are we having this conversation at all?
Yeah, and you laid out questions for Craig, and I think they were well thought out. And I don't want to, you know, I don't want to codify anything. I don't want to give the legislature in Montgomery any other ideas for making, you know, okay. But there should be, at least we the voters should have some kind of litmus test. Say, okay, if the person switches parties, tell me why you switched, and then see if we believe it. Other than the party left me, I guess I tire of the cliche.
Yeah, no, absolutely. You are 100% correct. There's this big cliche that we wonder how the party moved so far to the left without you saying anything until right now. What was the moment that changed your mind? I mean, they got to lay this out other than just, you know, okay, cool, come on over. And look, when you're the minor party, if people start switching to you, well, then cool, you take almost whoever you can get, brought the tent, stuff like that. But when you're the dominant party, I don't think you have to look at it the same way.
So, and I think there's two questions. Number one, your main question here about switching parties. Number two, yeah, I wish more people would start asking this. You know, why we have positions like a license director being a political thing? I mean, the idea you mentioned, elect the government closest to you. But I mean, come on, man. I mean, we've got a couple different positions, and we're also, this could transition into the discussion of the state school board and those kind of things. You know, do you need them to run as Republicans or Democrats in that, or do you just need them to run, you know, just as a candidate?
Yeah, dude, I need to know what my coroner thinks about taxation policy, and I need to know if my license director is pro-life or not. I need to know these things.
You know, but they get into that, right? I mean, you'll hear that rhetoric shows up, and we'll have statewide races where the people are talking about things that are so far from the purview of the job they want to get elected to, it's laughable.
Pro-life school board members come to mind.
Well said. Well said. Yeah. All right. So I just want you, I'm going to link that up on the Twitter feed, or people can go check it out through Yellowhammer. I think it's a great read, and I wanted to make sure people here knew about it. Now, we got a couple minutes for me to run a couple questions by you before we head to the very important news break to get the latest on Syria and impeachment. So let's get the latest on Syria and impeachment from Dale Jackson. So this is a lynching, right? That's what the president said. It's caused much consternation today that President Trump called this a lynching.
So ridiculous. I mean, this, I've been making this point for a while, and I said so on social media as well. At this point, we are supposed to take the people who are telling us every single day that they don't understand what's happening and what's coming out of the president's mouth, yet take them seriously on analysis. This lynching thing is ridiculous. It's the same thing as yesterday. They were freaking out because he said this phony emoluments clause. I mean, clearly what he's saying is, I didn't violate the emoluments clause. But I had a guy on my show this morning, a liberal professor. He would not acknowledge that, yes, Donald Trump knows what the emoluments clause is. See, there's multiple lawsuits right now. Everyone knows what he meant. Yet we're still having a fake conversation about whether he thinks the emoluments clause is in the Constitution. Why? So they can say he's an idiot. Now, that's his own fault. I mm-hmm. get it. But why should I listen to anyone that wants me to believe that they are that stupid?
And it is. It's a feigned stupidity that goes into. Now, listen, we agree on both of these things that, I mean, there's fuel put in the tank by President Trump. He gives it fuel. But for all of a sudden, the most savvy Washington inside, a New York inside reporters to be like, I only understand this at face value. It is very, I'm a very simple person and I can't understand nuance. All of a sudden, no nuance.
Yeah, no, and then this happened today, and I hate to keep like replaying something that happened on my show today, but I was having this conversation with a college professor, a liberal college professor who's on guerrilla politics with me. I'm having this conversation with him, and he's like, oh, no, I only know what he says. Maybe he doesn't know. And I said, okay, well, let's go to that text message from this Ukrainian ambassador, the one where he says, I want to make it clear to you, the president says there's no quid pro quo. And they're like, well, we can't take that at face value. Who knows what they were saying on the other side? I mean, the whole thing is, it's phony, absurd nonsense.
All right, before we run out of valuable minutes here, so Syria and the withdrawal, what's your take on this? Am I in nitpicking here, bringing the troops home? Not exactly.
I'm torn, you know. I think it was a bad idea to get out. I thought we were kind of keeping the peace there with 1,000 Americans spread across that region. It seemed like we were keeping things relatively peaceful. Could we do that forever? I don't know the answer to that. Once we decide to pull out, we should get out. And if we're leaving and they're throwing potatoes, tomatoes, and rocks at us, bye. Don't ask me to come back. You know, I mean, that to me, it's a tough one. I don't like how this happened. I don't like how it went down. I would have preferred we stay and stay in that region because we were keeping the relative peace. I didn't like when Obama pulled out on much larger numbers to a much bigger problem. But I'm not a fan of this, but I understand it. Look, Trump said end the endless wars. Whether you like it or not, that's what he said.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what? So did they, until he started doing it, and then all of a sudden it was a huge deal.
Yeah, now all of a sudden they're big fans of it. And problem is, in the wake of this, I do look at the fact that, I guess, at some point, they're, 6 hours ahead there or something like that, that Vladimir Putin and Erdogan had a 3-martini lunch. Lord knows what they talked about.
Yeah, who knows? Who knows that? But anyway, it is. Trump wishes he was there, right? That's what the media will tell us. Those are his two best friends now. And, you know, the alternative to all of this is pretty simple. And I think it's been wildly underreported, but Bradley Byrne put it to me like this. He said, the idea that Trump said, I'm going to leave, and then Turkey was like, cool, we'll go in, it's completely backwards. Turkey warned the United States. They said, we're coming, and you guys can sit here in the way, and we're going to try to avoid you, but we want you to know we're coming. And the president made the choice to get out of the way, because what are we going to do, fight a NATO ally? I mean, what's the alternative there? Sit there and hope they don't hurt our soldiers by accident? And then if they do crush them, I don't know what the alternative is.
A lot of moxie on the Turks' part, though. But to tell us what, you know, that they're going to come in.
No, I agree with that.
A fellow NATO ally, you know, hey,
yeah,
we're coming in.
But Sean, think about this. Another thing we've been told for the last 2 years is that Trump wants to destroy NATO. his number one goal is to destroy NATO. Mm-hmm. And the way he was going to destroy NATO was by asking them to spend more on their military, thus strengthening NATO. But whatever, forget about that. Turkey is a NATO ally. What are we going to tell them? Don't do it, or we'll stand here and fight you militarily. So now we're going to go to war with the Turkish with an ally country. The whole thing's a mess, and I don't know what the answer is.
All right, and then I'm still worried about the troops that are left surrounding oil installations. Will become like a Berlin airdrop at some point. Do they get surrounded? How do we deal with that? But wait to see. Dale, tell folks how to find you on Twitter if they got their chin strap buckled up and they want to get in there.
At the Dale Jackson on Twitter, same thing on Facebook. I post stuff, Yellowhammer, general things as well. Come and say hello. I'll fight with you.
That is true. That man will. Always a pleasure. And check him out, of course, Saturdays, Guerrilla Politics Radio right here at FM. It's a TV show, but we call it radio here at the radio station. We take the audio. We don't get the pictures, but you can follow along. I'll have flashcards later.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
What did you... Okay, good. Thank you. Dalton got it right. Of course he did. By the way, hey, it's Midday Mobile, FM Talk 106.5. Love to hear from you at 343-0106. Now, I was looking at our text line, and somebody said, what's up at the tunnel, that being eastbound I-10, where we had the beginning of the show, just a quick discussion of the difference between a lumber truck and a log truck, okay? So... sure, they're made of the same things, but one's processed, one isn't. You know, cattle trailer and a freezer trailer hauling beef. You know, it's like, so it's an overturned lumber truck, and I think they're getting close, hopefully, to getting all that stack back up and getting that truck out of there. But once again, eastbound in the Wallace Tunnel, that is the issue. I heard they were diverting on to maybe getting people down on the canal and taking them to water, or I think that's what they're doing. If you're in that traffic, you probably know better than me. You can let us know on the text line, at 3-4. If you're moving, then you don't text. But if you're stuck with the car in park and the car off and your keys outside the vehicle, I don't want to get anybody in trouble, then you can text us. All right. And on the flag thing, I know, and I appreciate that. Polecat and others, and my buddy Crypto Marine. Yeah, the flag helps people following a log truck to judge distance. And like Crypto Marine says, people with depth perception, macular degeneration, and one eye. Well, that's about where I am. I've got to get. It's like every month, I need a bigger and bigger flag on the back of those log trucks. It's just always, I don't know. It was always amusing. Like sometimes when it's a real small flag on the back of a log truck, I would say, yeah, I don't see those logs, but I do see that orange flag. Hey, we have to do the same thing. You got something hanging out of the back of your truck, right? In Alabama, it may be the law everywhere, but I know in Alabama you're supposed to have maybe red works. We've always had to, you put some flagging tape or something on it, or one of those flags as you drive around. You know what I'm talking about? If you got something hanging, you got some lumber. Maybe you went down and took some lumber out of the tunnel and put it in the back of your truck, and you're wanting to take it somewhere to do something with it, and it's hanging out there, that you got to have one of those something. And enough folks in law enforcement listen to the show, y'all let me know. I mean, I've always used orange flagging tape or actual orange flag, but can it be some other color? Does it have to be like blaze orange? Questions I have. I could look through the code here. All right. Coming up next hour, we'll get into the clip from earlier where this is, well, I'll just play it for a second here, because if you're not going to be with us, this is just some people giving Rand Paul the what for. Now, let me frame this. This is not because, like every easy, I know I'll look at the text, just because you like Rand Paul. I don't always agree with Rand Paul, but I do like Rand Paul, yes. He and his wife are having dinner, right? Or having lunch, I'm sorry. They're out in California, and they get spotted by some New Yorkers, as you'll hear, and they start giving him the what for, right? Of verbal assault, hollering at him as they're in the restaurant trying to eat. Rand Paul and his wife and a couple others. So they're trying to eat lunch. So these, I'm going to send this whole link out on my Twitter feed. But they're eating lunch, and these folks are hollering at them. And the idea that somebody would disagree politically with Rand Paul bothers me not. Zero bother there. what bothers me, and not even the whole segment, but this part, I had to edit because this mature lady has potty mouth here, and this is being recorded on somebody's smartphone. I don't know if staff or it was Rand Paul himself. And she says this.
You just ran into two people from New York, kiddo, and we're not putting up with your Republican bullshit.
Okay, so there it is. So you could guess what she says. So therein lies the part, not even the part where she says she's not going to put up with the Republican bull blank. And yes, do I realize the President of the United States is a thorn in their side is the consummate New Yorker? Sure I do. But this right here, this is what I think. Am I right? Am I close to it that when Southerners try to get in a debate or a fair conversation, I'm not talking about the mudslinging that goes on Facebook or Twitter. I'm talking about when you're trying to discuss something. And then they go here.
New York, kiddo, and we're not putting up with your Republican.
We're from New York, so.
And into two people from New York, kiddo.
Oh, wow. Well, then your opinion must be better than anybody else's. They're out in California would want to point out to Rand Paul that they're from California. I mean, that they're from New York. So now be duly warned that they're from New York and they're not going to put up with it. That part of it, not even the cursing, I don't care. I'm not going to sit down here and pretend that I care. But the fact that we're from New York, okay, and what? How is that? How does that, why don't you just say what you don't like about what Rand Paul has said? Why do you have to preface where you're from? How does that further a conversation? Is the point of the conversation to just yell at somebody, or is it to try to persuade them into signing on with you? Or maybe just saying, well, you know, I don't agree with you on this, but maybe we agree on this other thing. Something like that. I don't know. It just, the link is up there on the Twitter feed where I'm sure it'll start some mudslinging. Oh, also, if you didn't catch the story, I think we had it, was it yesterday or Friday? Speaking of California and people who lead off with that jab, I think we maybe had it in headlines on Friday. 22 states on San Francisco's blacklist all have what they call restrictive abortion laws. So now, the city of San Francisco, of course, with the Dalton, we may need to get that audio clip of the stuff that's on their streets there in San Francisco. They have banned city employees from doing official business with companies based in any of the states, or they won't let them travel to those states for work. So let me get this right. So if there was a business or something in one of these 22 states, Alabama's one of them, in one of these states that could do something, save the city of San Francisco money, make the city, maybe there's people in those states that know how to keep people from defecating on the sidewalk. Maybe there's a great company in Georgia with a great technology that could keep people from crapping in the streets. I'm sorry, I know it's lunch hour, but they won't be able to do business with them or travel to those states because the city of San Francisco, which I do support their right as a municipality to make bad choices, but I also support my right to point it out, have said you cannot travel to those states because of their abortion laws. They worry that their employees from the city of San Francisco are going to be traveling on this business junket and all of a sudden just need them an abortion right then? Is that what it is? Alabama, Georgia made the 22 state list. Mayor of San Francisco, London Breed, said that this is their response to, quote, states that put women's health at risk and that are actively working to limit reproductive freedoms. Let me look at it this way. Who loses out more? Impossible business dealings. I don't know what the city of San Francisco's needs are, other than keeping off the streets. They probably have lots of other needs. But who loses more? An individual municipality that says, 22 states, we're not going to do business with, we're not going to travel to any kind of, whatever they had, you know, city people go to, I'm sure they have some kind of convention or something, city, you know, whatever. We're not going to, you cannot go there, these 22 states, or is San Francisco, the municipality, going to lose out? Yeah, I got to think that the crab traps work in the one way, right? this hurts San Francisco more than it hurts the 22 states. I mean, are you able to deal with the fact that folks that are employees of the city of San Francisco cannot travel to Alabama? I guess that's on company time. Doesn't say they're restricting them on their free time if they want to come here, I guess. But yeah, so San Francisco has blacklisted Alabama and 21 other states. And just remember, they're from San Francisco, just the way that other gal that was ripping Rand Paul's from New York.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, 1250 FM Talk 106.5 at Midday Mobile. Thank you, Dalton. He had the clip ready to go. This is a clip when I was thinking about the story there where the city of San Francisco has told their employees they cannot travel to 22 states, Alabama being one of them, because of the abortion laws. They can't go to like any conferences, can't do business with them, anything. It reminded me of...
I will say that there's more feces than I've ever seen, for sure. And that is a huge problem. And we're not just talking about from dogs. We're talking about from humans.
So what if there was some fantastic technology in one of those 22 states that could clean up their issue there on the streets? They would not take it. They would not make the city better. They would keep people stepping over landmines because they're not going to deal with the... once again, though, I'm in the weird position where I know it makes people angry. I will defend San Francisco's right to be San Francisco, but I will lampoon it for sure. All right. Oh, and the... Dalton, by the way, I searched that. It came up as a... It's a thing. One of the ways I searched on Google, I was looking for the latest here on Tulsi Gabbard, Hillary Clinton. There's a Tulsi versus Hillary twin, like it's a fight getting ready to happen that's trending on Twitter right now. And if you hadn't followed this, this is a story that's been talked about for probably 3 or 4 days now, if not more, with Hillary Clinton claiming last week that Tulsi Gabbard was a, what is the quote, the favorite of the Russians, that she was a Russian asset. Then Tulsi came back and said Hillary was the queen of warmongers, the embodiment of corruption, and the personification of the rot that has sickened the Democratic Party, end quote. So this is, you've been following this, right? The attack from the Clintons on Tulsi Gabbard. And Tulsi went on to say, she believes, okay, in the story, they... It's from Vox. Okay, it says, in Gabbard's telling, her party's 2016 nominee was behind, quote, a concerted campaign to destroy my reputation through your proxies and powerful allies in the corporate media and war machine, end quote. It's now clear that this primary is between you and me. Gabbard, who is at 1.2% in the Real Clear Politics primary polling average, concluded, don't cowardly hide behind your proxies. Join the race directly, end quote. They go on to say here, this is a bizarrely intense fight, given that these two are members of the same party. I don't know. This is going on Republicans. It was. Clinton suggesting that Gabbard is the Kremlin's chosen agent for destroying the Democrats in 2020. Gabbard accusing Clinton of being a puppet master behind a massive conspiracy aimed at her. Unfortunately, they say, are these people serious? Unfortunately, the answer to that question is yes, in ways that reveal some troubling tendencies among American liberals and leftists today. On Clinton's part, the accusation reflects a remarkable overestimation of Russian influence on the part of certain Democratic Party loyalists and a corresponding willingness to fling around baseless allegations of people they don't like being aligned with, the Kremlin agents. At the bottom, it's a conspiratorial way of viewing the world that disconnects Democrats from reality. Let me point out to Vox, this is Democrats doing to other Democrats what they have been doing to President Trump, right? Says Gabbard's bizarre counter-allegations of a Clinton conspiracy reflect the way in which her nominally anti-war politics are actually kind of pro-authoritarian, conspiratorial worldview, particularly on Syria, an issue with the top of the political agenda right now. Her approach has a handful of fans on the party's left flank, but really has found its base in the pro-Trump right. The real-life proof of horseshoe theory of political spectrum that actually has merit, which is actually a pretty, I mean, we've talked about that before, right? And you could look at it as a circle or a horseshoe, but those at the extreme, this has been proven over time. When you look at authoritarian, I guess if you're looking at anything that I push away from is authoritarianism, I'm anti-authoritarian, but those on the far left and those on the far right, sorry y'all, sorry to break your hearts, but y'all love you some authoritarianism. You love somebody telling you what to do. Somebody's got to tell them what to do. Somebody's got to tell them what to do. Somebody got to keep them in line. This liberty stuff goes on here in the Vox story. Fortunately, these tendencies don't seem to be afflicting any of the top contenders for the party's nomination at the moment. Politicians closer to the center, like former Vice President Joe Biden and South Bend, Indiana Mayor Pete Buttigieg, don't sound like Clinton. Left-wing candidates like Senators Elizabeth Warren and Bernie Sanders don't sound like Gabbard. But this ugly fight exposes the real internal problems on the broadly constructed left, half of the American political spectrum, one that liberals and leftists cannot and should not ignore. Well, let me point out that happened today, since this Vox story came out, that you have Bernie Sanders and who else was it? It was Bernie Sanders and it wasn't Warren, but Bernie Sanders and another candidate backing Tulsi Gabbard in this. Believe me, if you were a Democrat, okay, and maybe Democrats listening right now, tell me if I'm wrong. Don't you want the Clintons gone? The Clintons that are, it depends on your political view and your worldview and all that, are either rightfully or wrongly the epicenter of anger from conservatives and Republicans, right? If I'm a Democrat, what I would like to shed from the party are the Clintons. Why the loyalism? Do you think Hillary Clinton comes back and is elected? So if you don't believe that's going to happen, don't you want them gone? Don't you want to have them fade away and not be used as a bludgeoning tool against Democrats? Why would you stand up and back and defend Hillary Clinton in this? To what? I mean, the party has moved on past them. What is the need? What is the need of having Hillary Clinton as being a guiding voice for Democrats? And that's a fair question. If you're a Democrat, I'd like to know. I mean, would you like, if you could wave a wand, if you got to be the decider of all things political in the United States, and you could just make it, if you're a Democrat, and you could make it that Hillary Clinton, people just, all of a sudden you wave a wand and people forget she ever happened, or Bill Clinton ever happened. Would you? Today. I'm not talking about like today. Erase the Clintons from the political consciousness of American voters. Wouldn't that help Democrats? But there are people coming to Clinton's side on this. Because do you have more chance in the future, Democrats, with a Tulsi Gabbard, who's not pulling very highly now, but this may be her first entree into this gig. You have more chance in the future with a Tulsi Gabbard or a Hillary Clinton. If you could wave that wand, would you? Love to hear from you. 343-0106. 343-0106.